through the attributes of God, and this morning we have reached the attribute of God's righteousness, the fact that He is a righteous God. So this morning we'll be looking at various texts, but as we begin, I'll be reading Psalm 116. So if you want to follow along, you are welcome to as I read Psalm 116. Hear now the word of God. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because He inclined His ear to me, therefore I will call on Him as long as I live. The snares of death encompass me, the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, He saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. And the Lord bless the reading and now the preaching of His word. As we consider what it means that God is righteous, as I'm reading this psalm, the verse specifically that we'll focus on in the sermon is in verse 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous, our God is merciful. So notice that in the midst of, and in the middle of that verse, you have, first of all, the fact that God is gracious. And then lastly, the psalmist said that God is merciful. And right in the middle of that is the fact that God is righteous. And sometimes we look at these two attributes of God and almost put them at odds with each other, of God being righteous and merciful, as if they're opposed or contradictory. But as we'll see in our text this morning, and we'll see throughout the sermon this morning, about how God's righteousness and His mercy are really tied together. They're not in contradiction to each other. But God, in His righteousness, shows us mercy. And He shows us mercy in accordance with His righteousness. And this, brothers and sisters, gives us cause to rejoice. And that is the theme that we'll be looking at this morning, is a call for you and me to rejoice as we think about God's righteousness. To rejoice for our righteousness, for our righteous God has provided our righteousness. Again, for us to rejoice, for our righteous God has provided our righteousness. And we'll be just looking at this theme in 2 points. And the first, we'll be looking at the fact that God is righteous, and the fact that we can rejoice because of this fact that God is righteous. But then we'll also be looking at the fact that we can rejoice for God has made us righteous. So first of all, rejoice for our God is righteous. Now as I pointed out in Psalm 116, verse 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous, our God is merciful. Now when we consider God is righteous, what do we mean by that? What does it mean when we say that God is righteous? Well, first of all, it means that God is just. He is just. He does no wrong. He is a righteous judge, as he is described in Psalm 7, 11, verse 11, in Psalm 9, verse 8, and 98, verse 9, and 99, verse 4, and we could add a host of other scripture passages to that. But God is a righteous judge. He is just. He shows no partiality. He shows no partiality to the rich or to the poor, to anyone. He judges the earth with equity. All mankind, it doesn't matter what station we are in life, we'll be judged by the same standard, his perfect and righteous law. He takes no bribes. One of the Psalms asks, what can a man give for a ransom of his soul? The answer to that is nothing. There's nothing that we can bribe God with. He owns everything. All is his. What can we bring to God to say, I will give you this extra thing, God, if you will just let this slide? We can't bribe him, and even if we could, he wouldn't accept it. He never is unjust. Every punishment he would give towards sin perfectly fits the crime. He is never heavy-handed. Everything he does is just. Back in August of 2012, I've mentioned this before in illustrations in the past, but Alicia and I witnessed a criminal escaping and fleeing a scene. It turned out it was a drive-by shooting, not too far from here, sadly. But we were called after a couple years went by to come and give testimony. So I went and sat in the witness chair and gave testimony in the trial. And the evidence against this individual was overwhelming, and he was convicted and sentenced. He'll be spending many years behind bars. Now, in that instance, if the evidence had been set before the jury and the conviction had come, how would we react if all of a sudden the judge just said, I know you've been convicted and there's all this evidence, but you seem really sad about what you did, so you can go home? That's not just. What about the family and the friends of the one who was murdered? Who is going to pay the price for that crime that was committed? Well, God's justice is always satisfied. He shows no partiality, he takes no bribe, and he is always just. Now, if we're thinking that through, we have to ask ourselves then, well, how can we get off the hook then? How can he just forgive us for what he's done? Our society likes to think that's what God does. That God will look at us on the last great day and he'll weigh what we've done against the good that we've done versus the bad that we've done and either let us in on some technicality or something. But that will never happen. Because as we stand in our own good works, in our own righteousness, God tells us that all these good works are but filthy rags in his sight. And that there is no one righteous throughout the earth, no, not one. And that as we stand there on our own, we are condemned. And the answer in his wisdom that he has given is in Jesus Christ. Because by God's grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, it's not that God has simply overlooked our sins and just said, okay, I'm just going to turn a blind eye to them. No, every sin that we have committed is nailed to the cross of Christ. Every sin that we have committed has been paid for. The punishment has been dealt in Christ. And so God is just and merciful. He punishes the sin, but yet shows us mercy as he has forgiven us those transgressions. But when we say that he is righteous, one of the things we mean is that he is just. He is just, completely just. But another thing that we mean is that he is morally pure. He is morally pure. You see, God not only gives us the law, but he upholds it. We see this in Isaiah 33, verse 22. He is the lawgiver. He also upholds his law. See, it is in his righteousness that he, in a sense, maintains his holiness. The fact that he is the Holy One. He is separate from us. He is holy. He is perfect. There is no blemish, no spot, no stain, no wrinkle. And in his righteousness, in his moral purity, he maintains that. It is, in a sense, the opposite of sin. His righteousness is him upholding his law. And sin is everything that is opposed to that. You know, when we consider, as we live in a fallen society, and we see on the news from time to time, a police officer or a public official of some kind being caught in a crime that they've committed. You know, why do we recoil at that maybe a little bit more than if it was just the average person that committed that crime? It's because those individuals, their job is to uphold those laws. That is what they are there to do. To uphold them, and when they transgress them, it appears to us to be a greater violation, a greater crime of that law. God not only has given us his law, but he upholds it. He doesn't break it. He never will. He is morally pure. And because of this, we can rejoice. We can rejoice that God is just. And we can rejoice that he is completely holy, that he is morally pure, that he is righteous. Now, that's kind of what it means that God is righteous. But there's a greater reason why we can rejoice in the fact that God is righteous. You turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I touched on this briefly in the previous point of how can we who are sinners be reconciled to a righteous God? And for the second point, I want to focus on that a little bit more. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul gives us a beautiful and profound answer. In chapter 5, verse 21, we read, "For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." See, because God is righteous, those who are in his presence must also be righteous. And as we consider 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, first of all, I want you to look at the fact that he who knew no sin was made to be sin. Now consider the weight of those words. As we consider the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we think about him hanging upon the cross, in those 3 hours of darkness that he endured, how he He endured the shame, as the call to worship that we read in Hebrews chapter 12. He endured the shame of the cross. In that moment, when the Father looked at His Son, He saw our sin. He was made to be sin. The cross isn't just the death and the horrific death of an innocent man. It is the eternal Son of God giving up His life as a ransom for His people, being counted as a transgressor in the eyes of His Father. He who knew no sin was made to be sin. And the flip side of that coin is the benefit that we receive. That in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus told those that were around Him in His Sermon on the Mount as He was preaching in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, that unless you have a righteousness greater than that of the Pharisees, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, as we consider the Pharisees from all earthly standpoints, they were righteous. I mean, if somebody was to look at them, they meticulously kept not only the law they strove to keep, but outwardly, they also kept up all the trappings that they themselves had set up around the law. And you looked at them outwardly, and they were the epitome of righteous, of a righteous human being. But Jesus tells us that they are just whitewashed tombs. They are filled with dead men's bones. And that in order for us to enter the kingdom of heaven, we have to have a righteousness greater than the Pharisees. Well, the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, that Jesus was made to be sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. Now, that doesn't mean that, as we've been talking about, that God is righteous, that we somehow become that. But what it means is that the righteousness that God has, the righteousness that is His, the righteousness that Jesus Christ earned throughout His earthly life and ministry, that perfect, unadulterated, beautiful righteousness is given to us. Is given to us. So that justice, that moral purity that is God's, that requirement that we must have in order to stand in His holy presence, He gives us in Christ at the cost of His Son. In that moment, as the Father turned His wrath and poured out in full upon His Son, Jesus was declared a sinner. Just as now, you and I, by God's grace, in Jesus, in the victory that He won, that sin and death could not contain Him, could not keep Him in the grave, but He was victorious and was resurrected and ascended on high. And by God's grace, through faith in Him, we are truly declared righteous. The righteousness of God. Not some pathetic excuse for righteousness that you and I can somehow fabricate or mimic. But the genuine, true, pure righteousness of the Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. That is ours. That is what He has given us. Can we not rejoice today? Do we not have reason to shout from the rooftops? The goodness. In Psalm 116, he also says, How bountifully has the Lord dealt with you? Has the Lord not dealt bountifully with our souls? Let us, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Because this is not based on our work. It's not based on our choice. It's not based on our will. The last thing I want us to notice of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, is the first part of the verse. For our sake, He made Him. This is God's work. This is God's choice. This is God's design, His purpose, His will. And as we've looked at before in the other attributes of God, who can stay His hand? Who can tell Him, what have you done, O Lord? It is His purpose that His people have His righteousness. And we can rejoice because in Christ, God has given us this righteousness. He has made us righteous. That is how, back in Psalm 116, verse 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous, our God is merciful. God's grace and His righteousness together, at work, not in conflict. Now, if you're like me, you may ask, well, yes, I'm righteous, God has declared me righteous, but Pastor, I sin daily. I sin in thought, word, and deed. I stumble, I fall. He said, yes, we do. We live in a fallen world. If Adam and Eve, humanity in all its glorious perfection, could not withstand and resist, what hope do we have? The hope is in the grace of God. Because it's not our righteousness, it's His. It's not our boasting of our work, it's His gift. And His call upon each and every human being is to hear this glorious message of the gospel that He has provided our righteousness for us, that we might be with Him, to hold fast to the Lord Jesus Christ, and in His strength be glorified in Him. As on that last glorious day, our righteousness will be evident as the righteousness of Christ will fill this earth with His glory. So, brothers and sisters, let us rejoice, for our righteous God has provided our righteousness. Amen. Our gracious Lord, we praise You that You are just, that You show no partiality, that You receive no bribes, that You are never unjust. And Lord, we praise You that You are not only the lawgiver, but You uphold Your law. You are morally pure. And Lord, we praise You that You are a righteous God and that You have not left us in our unrighteousness, but You have provided Your own righteousness for us, that we may be Your children. May You, Father, cause us to grow in our Christ-likeness, that we might more radiate Your glory. And may You continue to work within us the great salvation that You have accomplished in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.